Blood was splattered on the short, coarse buffalo grass at the spot where Preacher had confronted the bear. That was proof the creature had been wounded. But it didn't tell Preacher how bad the bear's injuries were. He didn't find enough blood to convince him that the bear was mortally wounded. The rusty red droplets on the ground made the trail easy to follow, though. The bear had headed north. Dog bounded out ahead of Preacher and Horse, using his keen sense of smell to track the massive grizzly. Preacher wondered if there had been something wrong with the bear to start with. While grizzlies could be found anywhere on the frontier, it was much more common for them to be in the mountains. Something had led the beast to wander out onto the plains. Preacher followed the blood trail for several miles before it petered out. Dogs still had the scent, though, and they continued their pursuit of the grizzly almost due north. Preacher was convinced by now that the bear was not seriously injured. Couldn't have gone that far if it was on the verge of bleeding to death. The wounds might fester and kill the beast eventually, but it would take time for that to happen.
Ho, Hoss. Come on back, dog. Yeah, I know you got the scent and you don't want to give up the trail, but I don't think we're going to find that varmint anytime soon, and I don't want to be away from the wagons all day. That bastard Garrity and his bunch could still be out here somewhere. So come on now. Maybe the bear will just keep going and not bother us anymore. Nah, you're right. I don't believe that either. But we can't rule it out. Now come on, you flea-bitten old coot.
Dog rejoined him reluctantly, glaring so fiercely that Preacher had to grin.
I know you could call me a flea-bitten old coot, too, if you wanted to. I'm damn sure getting there.
They angled to southwest, since the caravan would have put a few more miles behind it. Preacher hoped to intercept the wagons, but when he and his companions reached the Santa Fe Trail, the canvas-covered vehicles were nowhere in sight. Preacher swung down from the saddle and knelt to study the ruts. The dust in them had been disturbed recently.
Looks like they beat us here, dog. They're making good time. Probably be at Mulberry Creek crossing before the day's over.
Confident that the wagons were in front of him, Preacher let Horse rest for a little while, then mounted up again and rode after the caravan. He could see the silvery ribbon of the Arkansas River off to his left as he followed the trail. By early afternoon, he spotted the wagons in front of him. Urging Horse to a slightly faster pace, he soon caught up. The bullwhackers waved greetings to him as he rode past the wagons. Lorenzo, Casey, Bartlett, and Roland were riding together in the front of the wagons. They heard Preacher coming and reined in to wait for him to catch up.
Well, did you find the carcass of that bear?
Nope. He was wounded, sure enough. Found blood to prove that, but he was moving just fine, heading north. I followed the trail for several miles before it turned around and came back.
You think he's going off to die?
I don't know that. Fact is, I got a hunch he wasn't hurt that bad. And I'm hoping he's been stung enough by our guns to teach him he ought to leave us the hell alone.
I wish he was dead. That way we'd know he couldn't threaten us anymore.
Well, even if he was, there'd still be plenty of other things you got to look out for. Like that rattler over yonder.
Preacher nodded toward the edge of the trail. The others looked where he indicated.
Lord have mercy! That there's the biggest snake I ever seen.
Coiled in the short grass at the edge of the trail was a thick-bodied rattlesnake. It was watching him intently with its inhuman eyes. Preacher moved Horse a little closer.
Hold now. Come on, take it easy.
He pulled his flintlock from its sheath.
I know you don't want to get any closer to that varmint, and I don't blame you.
The snake's head exploded in a spray of gore as the lead ball struck it. The thick, ropey body immediately uncoiled and began whipping about in death convulsions.
See? That's just what I mean. Out here, if it ain't one thing that'll kill you, it's something else.
The wagons reached the Mulberry Creek crossing of the Arkansas River late that afternoon. Late enough so that Preacher decided it would be better to wait until the next morning to ford the river. Nobody had forgotten how close that grizzly had come to the camp, so even though Preacher didn't believe the bear was anywhere nearby, the guard was doubled again, and those who did sleep did so lightly. After a quiet night, the bullwhackers hitched the teams to the wagons and drove them into the broad, slow-moving river. The wagons crossed without incident and headed southwest with full water barrels, following the ruts of the Cimarron cutoff that Preacher pointed out. The landscape soon proved Preacher right again. It wasn't long before the terrain grew flatter, the air hotter and drier than it had been on the other side of the river. The grass was sparse. There were long stretches of rocky, sandy ground that didn't look like it would ever be good for much of anything.
Nobody lives here in this wasteland, do they?
Oh, you'd be surprised. There's a lot of Comanche in these parts.
Comanche Indians, you mean?
Yeah, that's right.
Like those Pawnees we saw not long after we left Independence?
Well, now, the Pawnees are good fighters, and I wouldn't want them mad at me if I could avoid it. But to say that they're like the Comanche, there ain't no other Indians like the Comanche. The Sioux are probably better when it comes to riding, and hell, the Blackfoot got everybody beat when it comes to being plumb mean, and the Apaches, they can sneak around better than any of the other tribes. But the Comanche can do all of that, and almost as well as them other tribes. Pound for pound, I reckon they're the most dangerous critters I ever seen, including that grizzly bear.
Roland scanned the horizon.
Are we going to run into any of them?
It wouldn't surprise me a bit.
Will they attack us?
That's going to depend on how many of them there are and what sort of mood they're in. All Indians like to barter, and that includes the Comanches. There's a good chance they'll let us trade some bright-colored gigaws for safe passage through their land. Or they might decide to attack us and try to take the wagons and everything in. You really don't know until the time comes.
From the worried look on the faces of his companions, Preacher knew it would be all right with them if they did not encounter any Comanches on this journey. He felt the same way, but he didn't expect it to happen anyway.
Should we forego having a fire tonight? It might be wise not to announce our presence to those savages.
No, I'll go ahead and build a fire. Build a big one. I mean, you can't take this many wagons through the desert without the Comanche knowing you're here. Two or three people might be able to dodge them by laying low and making cold camps, but hell, not a party this big. They're gonna know.
Then we might as well make them think there are a great many of us. I'll tell the men to walk around a lot and make it look like there are more of them than there really are.
Hey, Lorenzo, why don't you come with me? I want to scout a little ahead.
All right. Preacher, what you said about two or three folks being able to slip through here by laying low and not building no fires, is that what you intended for us to do if it was just you and me and Casey?
Shit, hell no. If it was just the three of us, I never would have brought us this way. We'd have taken the northern route, gone over to Bent's Fort, and then cut down to Santa Fe through Raton Pass. Wouldn't have been any trouble on horseback.
Then the only reason we're going the way we are is so you can try to keep these pilgrims from getting themselves killed.
Well, since we've come as far with them as we have, it didn't seem right to just go off and leave them shift for themselves. The northern route may not be quite as dangerous as the cutoff, but it ain't exactly what you call safe neither, and it takes a week longer. It's more time for trouble to happen. I reckon it all sort of balances out in the end.
If you say so, Preacher, you ain't steered us wrong yet. I sure hope we don't run into any of them heathen redskins, though.
That night, a heavy guard was put on again. Preacher knew that contrary to what some folks thought, Indians would attack at night if it struck their fancy. In fact, down along the Colorado River in what was now the Republic of Texas, folks had recently started using the term Comanche moon to describe the sort of full moon the Comanche liked to raid by. Preacher thought it was more likely, though, that the Indians would wait until they had gotten a better look at the wagon train before they struck. They would have to gauge whether they wanted to fight or bargain. The next day, more endless, desolate miles rolled past. Following Preacher's advice, Bartlett and his men were careful about how much water they drank. The oxen got a full ration from the barrels because without those beasts of burden, the wagons weren't going anywhere. But the men could make do with less. Preacher figured they were halfway to the springs where the Cimarron River made its northernmost loop. He had stopped at that marshy pool a couple of times before and hoped nothing had happened to it since the last time he was in those parts. If the spring had gone dry for some reason, it would be a long and mighty thirsty trip to the next water. Roland and Casey were spending nearly all their time together, Preacher noted. With the threat of the Comanches hanging over them, it really didn't make much sense to be worried about affairs of the heart. But Preacher couldn't help but be pleased anyway. As they rode alongside the wagons, Lorenzo caught him smiling at the two youngsters during the third morning since hitting the cutoff.
Mighty pleased with yourself, ain't you?
Oh, what are you talking about, old man?
You know dang good and well what I'm talking about. You wanted that boy to court Casey, and he's sure doing it. Best he can, anyway, out here in the middle of the most godforsaken country I ever seen. Any fella out here who wanted to bring a bouquet of flowers to his sweetheart would be purely out of luck.
I'm thinking she'll be better off with young Bartlett than she ever would be with me. I never intended on dragging her all over the mountains with me. That's no fitting life for a woman.
And what about for an old black man?
Well, that's up to you. I mean, you're welcome to come along when I leave Santa Fe, assuming we both get there alive. You might decide to stay there, though. Find you some Mexican mamacita to look after you in your old age.
Slave or not, I've been bossed around my whole life. I'd like to know what it's like to really be free for a spell.
Preacher suddenly stiffened in the saddle. He stood up in his stirrups and peered off to the left of the trail.
What is it?
I just saw something out yonder. It's so hot and hazy in these parts, it's easy to see things that ain't really there. Mirages, I think folks call them. I swear I saw somebody moving out there.
Lorenzo pointed in the other direction.
Like them over there?
Preacher looked that way. Heat waves rippled up from the ground, distorting what he saw. But after a moment, his vision focused well enough for him to make out a line of riders moving in a parallel course to the wagons. He looked back to the left and knew he hadn't been mistaken. There was a column of riders on that side of the caravan, too.
Lordy, lordy. Are those fellas who I think they are, Preacher?
That's right. The Comanche have come calling. Drop back and let the others know what's going on if they haven't spotted those engines themselves. Tell them to stay calm, not to raise a ruckus.
Lorenzo nodded. Rather than turning around, he slowed his horse and let the other three riders catch up with him. Preacher glanced left and right. There were two outriders on each side of the caravan. They had to have seen the Comanches, but they were riding along as if they hadn't, gradually working their way closer to the caravan. That was smart of them, Preacher thought. If they turned and made a run for the wagons, they would likely prod the warriors into chasing them. Preacher noticed a couple rocky humps up ahead, the first real landmarks he had seen in quite a while. The trail ran between two shallow hills. It was the perfect place for an ambush, and he had no doubt Comanche warriors were waiting on both sides of the knobs. He held up his hand in a signal for the wagons to stop. If they got caught in that trap, they wouldn't have a chance. Preacher wheeled horse around and waved for the outriders to come in the rest of the way. Lehman Bartlett hurried up to him.
Do we need to pull the wagons in a circle?
If you do that, they'll know you're getting ready to fight and they'll go ahead and jump us. We might still be able to talk our way out of this. Let me give it a try first. Spread the word. Everybody needs to have his rifle handy.
And what are you gonna do?
I'm gonna let them know we want a parley. Hip!
Slowly, he rode about 50 yards in front of the wagons and then stopped. He sat in his saddle, waiting, apparently as calm as if nothing unusual or threatening was happening. The columns of Comanches flanking the caravan halted as well. A few minutes dragged by, then a party of half a dozen warriors appeared in the gap between the knobs and rode toward them. They took their time about it. The engines knew that waiting would stretch the nerves of their potential victims tighter and tighter. The Comanches came to a stop about 20 feet in front of Preacher. He held up a hand, palm out, in the universal sign of peaceful greeting. One of the warriors rode forward as a spokesman.
Greetings, brother.
The man was short and stocky, and he looked as tough as year-old jerky.
Who are you to call a warrior of the Comanche brother?
I am known as Preacher.
Clearly, that name didn't mean anything to the Comanche.
I am Lame Buffalo, and I am brother to no white man.
Then I would be a friend, if not a brother.
The white men are not friends. They are flies buzzing around the heads of the Comanche and eating the droppings of our horses. They are to be tolerated, not befriended.
Then you are one arrogant son of a bitch, Preacher thought. He almost said it out loud, in fact, but he bit back the words in time to prevent them from escaping. Preacher turned slightly in the saddle and waved his left hand toward the wagons behind him.
We wish to take our wagons through your land safely. We mean no harm to the Comanche people. We are peaceful traders.
You take white man's goods to the land of the Mexicans?
Preacher knew damn good and well that Lame Buffalo knew the answer to that one. He had probably seen dozens of freight caravans bound for Santa Fe, and he might well have looted some of them.
That's right, and we only carry trade goods, no guns.
The Comanches would be more likely to attack the caravan if they thought they might get their hands on some weapons. A few of the band carried flintlocks, but most were armed with bows and arrows or lances.
Show me.
Sure, come with me.
Turning his back on the Comanches was not easy, but he did it and acted unconcerned as he rode toward the wagons with Lame Buffalo following him. The Preacher saw the nervous faces watching him and made a motion with his hand, hoping they would understand he was telling them to stay calm. He smiled at Casey, Lorenzo, Bartlett, and Roland, who sat together on their horses next to the first wagon.
This is Lame Buffalo. He's gonna take a look at the goods we're carrying. Pull that canvas back, would you, Cliff?
Preacher spoke to the bullwhacker in charge of the first wagon's team of oxen. The man went to the rear of the wagon and untied the canvas flaps. He threw them open so Lame Buffalo could look into the wagon. The Comanche leaned forward on his pony, and he frowned as he peered into the vehicles at the crates and barrels stacked in its bed.
Hold on a minute now.
Preacher dismounted and climbed into the wagon. He pulled his knife from its sheath and used the blade to pry the top off a barrel of sugar. Scooping up a handful of the stuff, he held it out to Lame Buffalo.
Try this.
The Comanche frowned, his eyes narrowed in suspicion. But he could not resist the temptation. He reached out and took a pinch of the sugar from Preacher's hand. Preacher pinched some of it between the fingers of his other hand and lifted it to his mouth. He tasted the sugar and licked his lips. Still looking wary, Lame Buffalo tried it as well. The warrior kept his face carefully impassive, but Preacher saw the pleasure that lit up Lame Buffalo's eyes for a second. He held out his hand for more of the sugar, and Preacher dumped the whole handful into his palm. Lame Buffalo turned his pony and kicked it into a run toward the rest of the warriors who blocked the trail. He shared the sugar with them, and Preacher could see him grinning.
What are you doing, Preacher?
You heard about catching flies with honey? Well, I'm trying to catch some Comanche with sugar.
Several of the warriors thrust their lances into the air. Lame Buffalo turned and rode back to join Preacher by the wagon. He pointed to the barrel.
We will take it all and not kill you.
One bag.
Lame Buffalo's face darkened with anger.
And a bolt of cloth. Your choice.
Show me.
Well, that was the beginning of a long, tense negotiation that lasted over an hour. The engines had him outnumbered 2-1, and everybody in the wagon train knew that. Impending violence was thick in the air. Lame Buffalo had to look in every wagon and decide what he wanted. And every time he made a demand, Preacher made a counteroffer. Finally, they reached an accord. In return for the sugar, the cloth, some salt, a couple of women's hats with bright colored feathers, and a bag of nails. Now, Preacher had no idea what the Comanches intended to do with those, but he did have a brief moment of hesitation when he guessed it might have to do with torturing prisoners. The Comanches agreed not to kill them all and burn their wagons. That seemed like a pretty fair deal to Preacher. Lame Buffalo waved some of his men over to gather up the spoils. The warriors took the goods and galloped back to rejoin the others.
One more thing, and then you can pass.
Preacher suddenly had a very bad feeling.
What's that?
Lame Buffalo nudged his horse over next to Casey's and reached out to grab her arm.
The yellow-haired woman goes with me too.
Now Preacher knew that Lame Buffalo didn't really mean it. The Comanche was just playing with him in the sometimes cruel fashion of his people. Preacher opened his mouth to tell Lame Buffalo he couldn't have her, figuring the man would demand one more piece of tribute since he had been denied his latest demand. It was just one more way of establishing his dominance. But Roland Bartlett did not know that, and Preacher didn't have time to tell him.
Take your hands off her, you filthy savage!
Roland jerked the pistol from his belt. Lame Buffalo jerked to the side but managed to stay on his pony, eyes wide with pain and shock. He looked down at his bare chest, where blood welled from the black-rimmed hole made by the pistol ball. He swayed for a second, then toppled from his mount. The fragile truce that had existed a second earlier was blown all to hell, just like Lame Buffalo. Preacher yanked his rifle from its sheath and snapped it to his shoulder. He fired without aiming, letting instinct guide his shot. One of the warriors in the trail pitched off his pony to fall in a limp heap.
Everybody in the wagons! In the wagons now!
The sideboards of the vehicles would stop an arrow and would probably stop a bullet. And the thick canvas covers over the wagon beds might stop one of the feathered missiles. They'd be better off fighting from inside rather than underneath. Preacher slapped horse on the rump. The stallion took off at a dead run, and Dog followed him. Preacher knew he didn't have to worry about the Comanches catching up to those two. They were faster than the Injun ponies and wouldn't let them get close enough to shoot them with arrows. They wouldn't return to the wagons until Preacher summoned them. Preacher reloaded the flintlock. All around him was chaos. From the corner of his eye, he saw Roland Bartlett grab Casey and practically throw her into the lead wagon. Preacher wanted to kick that dumbass boy six ways from Sunday for what he'd done, but it was too late for that now. Survival came first. One of the warriors charged, his lance leveled to pin Preacher to the wagon behind him. He finished priming the rifle, lifted it to his shoulder, centered the sight on the Injun's chest, and pulled the trick. The Comanche was only a few yards away by then, and he went flying backward off the pony as the ball from Preacher's rifle smashed into his chest like a giant sledgehammer. The lance slipped from the fingers of an outflung hand and skittered across the ground at Preacher's feet. Preacher snatched it up and thrust it into the side of another warrior who had gotten too close. The lance's sharp tip pierced his vitals. Even as he was dying, he swung his bow toward Preacher and tried to loose an arrow, but the mountain man knocked the bow aside with the barrel of his rifle. Preacher slid under the wagon, rolled all the way over to the other side, and came out with pistols in both hands. The weapon spat flame and smoke, and two more of the Comanches went down.
Preacher! Preacher, get in here, you crazy fool!
Lorenzo was yelling from the rear of the wagon, and he damn sure had a good point. With his guns empty, Preacher was in a bad spot. But he was not defenseless. As long as he drew breath, the man called Preacher would never be defenseless. He jammed the guns behind his belt, ripped his knife from its sheath, and dodged the thrust of a lance. Grabbing the shaft of the Comanche weapon, he dragged its owner off his pony, thrusting up with the knife to meet him. The blade went deep into the warrior's body. Preacher pulled the knife loose and shoved the dying man away. He turned and leaped for the wagon's tailgate. Lorenzo caught Preacher's arm and hauled him through the open. Preacher sprawled on top of some crates.
Are you all right?
Yeah.
We're in one hell of a mess, ain't we?
Yeah, I reckon we'll just have to fight our way out of it.
Outside, the defenders were outnumbered, but their firepower helped offset that disadvantage. Preacher reloaded his pistols as Lorenzo took his rifle and clambered over the freight to the front of the wagon.
Got one of them!
Preacher leaned out through the opening at the rear and blew away two more Comanches. Creek ducked back inside to reload again.
Did you see Roland throw Casey into the lead wagon?
I ain't sure, but I think so. That boy sure played hard, didn't he?
Oh, we'll talk about that later, if we live through this.
Suddenly, the face of one of the engines appeared as the canvas flaps flew back. Preacher twisted aside, reversed one of the pistols, and smashed the butt into the center of the warrior's face. Blood spurted under the impact. The engine fell backwards. Cool. Preacher went back to reload.
They're leaving! They're giving up, Preacher!
Preacher crowded up beside Lorenzo to look out. The Comanches were indeed galloping off, twisting around on their ponies to fire a few last arrows.
Leaving, maybe. Giving up, I don't think so.
The caravan's defenders had done quite a bit of damage to the engines. A number of bodies were sprawled on the ground around the wagons. But even so, the Comanches still outnumbered their enemies, and they would not likely abandon their efforts to avenge Lame Buffalo's death. Preacher went to the back of the wagon, climbed over the tailgate, and dropped to the ground. He kept a close eye on the bodies as he went to the lead wagon. It was possible that some of those warriors weren't dead. They might regain consciousness and try to carry on the fight. It was even possible that some of them were shamming in hopes of luring the white men into the open. If any of those varmints tried to rear up and shoot an arrow into him, Preacher was damn sure gonna be ready. He reached the lead wagon.
Casey, you all right in there?
Casey stuck her head out through the rear opening in the canvas cover.
Preacher, thank God. Are you hurt?
Well, nary scratch so far.
I'm all right, too. And so is Roland.
Preacher hadn't asked about the youngster, but he supposed he was glad Roland wasn't hurt, too. If not for his impulsive action, though, they might have gotten through the confrontation without any damn violence. Lorenzo came up.
What you need me to do, Preacher?
Go on up and down the wagons and find out how everybody's doing. See if we got any dead or injured. Wounded men will need to be patched up while the Comanches are off licking their own wounds and figuring out what to do next.
Lehman Bartlett had emerged from the wagon where he had taken cover. He joined the small group beside the lead wagon.
Well, perhaps we should make a run for it.
Now, that might work if we were all on horseback, but with a bunch of oxen pulling heavy wagons, there ain't no way in hell we're outrunning anybody, let alone those engine ponies. Let's see if we can get the wagons pulled over to the side of the trail and form them into a circle.
Roland jumped down from the lead wagon.
I'll spread the word.
Preacher nodded curtly. Roland had gotten them into the mess, so it was fitting that he try to help them get out of it. For a fleeting second, Preacher debated the wisdom of trying to call a parley with the engines. If he offered to turn Roland over to them, they might agree to let the rest of the party go. After all, he was the one who had killed Lame Buffalo and started the fight. But as quickly as the idea came into Preacher's head, he discarded it. He couldn't do that, and he knew it. For one thing, Casey would likely never forgive him for it, and for another, Lame Buffalo was partially responsible for what had happened as well. If he hadn't been such an arrogant horse's rear end and grabbed Casey like he did, Roland wouldn't have had any reason to shoot him. Still carrying his pistol, Preacher walked from body to body, checking to make sure they were dead. Eight of the Comanches were lying on the ground, including Lame Buffalo. And all of them had crossed the divide. Bartlett ran up.
Our horses are gone.
Yeah, I ain't surprised. The Comanche grabbed them.
How do we get them back?
Well, more than likely you won't. You'll have to walk or ride the wagons. Maybe a few of them followed my stallion. I ran him off when the attack started. Now, he'll be back, and with some luck, he might have a couple of your saddle mounts with him.
Oh, this is terrible. Just terrible.
Oh, you think so, huh? Why don't you talk to your son? He's the one who got trigger happy.
But that savage grabbed Casey. He was gonna drag her off with him.
No, he was not. He just wanted to show what a big man he was. We would have offered him something else in trade instead of Casey, and that would have been the end of it.
You sound awful certain of that.
Well, I goddamn sure am. I seen it happen before. And I would have handled it without anybody getting hurt. But Roland didn't give me a chance.
We don't all know as much about life on the frontier as you do, Preacher.
Oh, that's right. That's why you asked me along, ain't it? Let's get these wagons pulled into a circle.
Preacher retrieved his rifle and reloaded it while keeping watch all around him. He didn't expect the Comanches to allow them to circle the wagons in a defensive arrangement without attacking again. But to his surprise, that was what was happening. The engines were probably doing some considerable wrangling among themselves about what to do next. Either that, or one of their medicine men was trying to whip up some powerful medicine to protect them when they attacked. As soon as the wagons were in position, the men began unhitching the teams and leading them into the center of the circle.
Well, Preacher, ain't nobody on our side dead, but we got half a dozen wounded men.
Any of them hurt too bad to fight?
Only one. Some of his friends loaded them in one of the wagons.
We'll see if Casey can look after him. Why don't you tell Roland to stay with her?
Oh, hell. That boy ain't going very far away from her.
Yeah, well, that's good. Because I'm counting on him to keep her safe when those Comanche hit us again.
When's that going to be, you think?
Soon. Any time now.
As the minutes dragged past, Preacher came to the conclusion that the Comanches were deliberately stringing it out. They wanted the men with the wagons to get nervous. When Preacher looked at the bullwhackers, he saw that the tactic was working. Their nerves were quickly stretching to the breaking point. Since the lull in the fighting continued, Preacher walked out several yards from the wagons. Soon, horse and dog came trotting toward him over the prairie. Two more of the saddle mounts trailed the stallion in the big curve. Preacher held his rifle ready for instant use as he watched the animals come in. When he got them safely inside the circle of wagons, he found Lehman Bartlett.
We picked up a couple of Comanche horses.
Well, that's one bit of good luck anyway. Lord knows we can use all of it we can get.
I want half the men to rest while the other half stand guard. Those engines could come from any direction, so we gotta look every which way we can.
I understand. I'll give the orders. Preacher, I know you're right about what Roland did. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we'll worry about that later. Right now, let's just try to get through this thing alive.
Preacher went to the wagon where the seriously wounded man had been placed. He found Casey wrapping strips of cloth around the man's midsection to serve as makeshift bandages. He appeared to be unconscious.
An arrow went all the way through his side. He lost a lot of blood, but I cleaned the wounds. I'll bind him up and maybe he'll have a chance.
The fellow's better off that arrow came out the other side. Getting one of those blame things out usually tears a fellow up worse than it did going in.
Roland was hovering over Casey as she worked. He clutched a rifle in his hands and had a pistol behind his belt. He glared at Preacher.
My father tells me you think I'm to blame for this attack.
I ain't gonna lie to you, boy. You caused it, all right. You lost your head, and you shot Lame Buffalo when there wasn't any need.
No need? My God, man, that savage was trying to kidnap Casey.
It was just part of the game. We would have bartered for her, and she wouldn't have gone anywhere.
How in blazes was I supposed to know that?
Yeah, well, maybe if you'd waited a minute instead of pulling that trigger.
Oh, that's enough. Arguing about it now ain't gonna change things. Roland, you don't have to stay here with me.
Oh, yes, he does. I want him to watch out for you when the Comanche jump us again.
I thought they ran away.
Yeah, well, we're damn lucky they ain't back already.
No one has to watch out for me. Give me a pistol and some powder and shot, and I'll handle my share of the fighting.
As Preacher looked at Casey's determined face, he knew she meant it.
That ain't a bad idea. Roland, you got extra pistols in the freight these wagons are carrying. Why don't you go on and rustle up one for? I'll stay here for the time being.
Roland looked like he wanted to argue, but after a second, he nodded.
I'll be right back.
Don't you think you were too hard on him?
I didn't say anything that wasn't the truth.
Maybe not, but he's just learning his way around out here, like I am.
He won't live long enough to learn much of anything if he don't start paying more attention to the folks who know better.
Maybe you're right. But I was scared that engine was really going to take me with him. I was glad when Roland stopped him.
What? I never would have let that happen. I'd have shot that varmint myself before I let him carry you off.
I know that. I just didn't stop to think about it at the time.
Preacher!
Preacher saw Lorenzo hurrying toward the wagon.
Preacher! It's them engines! They're attacking again!
Damn!
Roland hadn't come back yet with the pistol for Casey. Preacher pulled one of his own pistols from behind his belt and pressed it into Casey's hand.
Did this fella you patched up have a powder horn and shot pouch?
I didn't see them if he did.
All right. Well, you got one shot here, and if you need it, you make it count. I'll send Roland back here if I see him.
Don't worry about me, Preacher. I'll be fine.
Despite her bravado, Casey's face was pale with fear, making the scar on her cheek stand out even more than usual. creature reached into the wagon and squeezed her shoulder reassuringly. Turning, he saw dust boiling up from the hooves of the engine ponies as the Comanches charged toward the circled wagons. They must have been making medicine to have taken this long to attack again.
Everyone, hold your fire until they're closer, and then make those shots count!
They had plenty of powder and ammunition. What they wouldn't have was a lot of time to reload. If they didn't break the back of the charge with their first volley, some of the warriors were going to make it into the circle. Preacher took up a position at the back of the wagon where Casey and the wounded man were. Lorenzo stood at the front of the next wagon in line. Lehman Bartlett was a couple of wagons away. Preacher did not see Roland.
Hey, Lorenzo, where the hell's Roland? Have you seen him? He was gonna fetch a pistol for Casey.
Don't know. Ain't seen hide nor hair of him this last little while.
Preacher didn't have time to worry about Roland now. He brought his long-barreled flintlock to his shoulder and aimed toward the charging riders.
Roland! My God, Roland, come back!
Preacher lowered his rifle and looked around to see Bartlett clambering over a wagon tongue and leaving the circle. Preacher ran after him. He hurdled the wagon tongue and grabbed Bartlett's arm.
What the hell's wrong with you, Bartlett? Have you gone loco?
Bartlett pointed a shaking finger.
Look! Look!
Preacher's face grew grim as he spotted the mounted figure riding toward the onrushing warriors. Roland had gotten hold of one of the extra horses, and he was meeting the Comanche charge by himself. It was the stupidest goddamn thing Preacher had ever seen. Despite that, he felt a surge of admiration for the youngster. It was a crazy, futile gesture on Roland's part, but there was no doubt it took courage to do what he was doing. Preacher shoved Bartlett toward the wagons.
Get back in the circle!
But my son!
God damn it! There's nothing you can do for him! There ain't nothing any of us can do!
Bartlett stumbled over the wagon tongue as he climbed back into the circle.
Bartlett!
Yes?
I'll see if I can get him.
The stallion and the big cur responded instantly.
Lorenzo!
The old-timer stuck his head around the back of a wagon.
Preacher! What in the hell's name are you doing?
I'm going after that fool kid. Count to 10 and then have everybody fire.
But Preacher!
Just do it! Yeah!
The stallion galloped at a breakneck pace after Roland, eating up the ground. Preacher counted off the seconds in his head as he rode. When he reached 7, he hauled back hard on the reins. The Comanches were less than 200 yards away now, and Roland was about halfway between him and them. Preacher dropped out of the saddle. His feet hit the ground and dug in. He pulled horse's head down hard. The stallion knew what he wanted, and he fell to the ground beside Preacher.
Dog, damn!
Dog hit the dirt too, and as he did, the 10 count ended. Bullets from the wagons whisked through the air above Preacher, horse, and dog, and smashed into the engines and their ponies. Clouds of dust rolled through the air as a dozen or more of the engine ponies spilled, going down in a welter of thrashing limbs. Roland's horse was hit too. It went down hard, sending Roland flying through the air. Preacher didn't know if any of the shots had struck the youngster. That had been a calculated risk in his hastily formed plan. But one thing was certain. If Preacher hadn't done something, Roland would have been slaughtered by those Comanche in a matter of seconds. The desperate gambit had nothing to lose. Preacher was up again instantly, vaulting into horse's saddle. He raced toward the spot where Roland's motionless body sprawled on the ground. The fierce volley from the wagons blunted the Comanche charge as Preacher had hoped. The warriors who were still mounted reorganized a short distance away, but they recognized Preacher and Roland as targets too tempting to pass up. Arrows began to fly through the air as Preacher galloped toward Roland, who was apparently unconscious and defenseless. Preacher reached his side in a matter of heartbeats and was out of the saddle, lifting him and throwing him over horse's back. The stallion jumped as an arrow grazed his rump. Preacher leaped into the saddle again and grabbed the reins. He wheeled horse around and sent the stallion racing toward the wagons again. With his other hand, he held Roland's limp form in place in front of the saddle. Dog ran ahead of him as arrows flew through the air around him. Preacher soon outdistanced the Comanche bows, but even so, he didn't slow down until he had leaped horse over a wagon tongue and was back in the circle. Bartlett and some of the other men rushed to gather around him.
Oh my God, is he dead?
I don't think so.
Preacher took hold of Roland and lifted him down from the stallion's back.
Ooh-wee! I never seen nothing like that before, Preacher. You could have got seriously killed all to hell trying something like that.
Yeah, but I didn't.
Preacher dismounted and waved a hand at some of the men.
Get back to the wagons and watch out for those Comanche. Reload those rifles if you ain't already done it.
Bartlett knelt beside his son and felt for a heartbeat.
He's alive, and I don't see any blood on him.
I think it just knocked him out when he got thrown off his horse.
Casey came pushing through the crowd.
Roland, is he all right?
Bartlett looked up at her.
He's alive, my dear. I think he's going to be fine.
Oh. What in the world was he trying to do, Preacher?
It looked to me like he was trying to fight off those Indians all by his lonesome.
Because you told him it was his fault they attacked us.
I told him the damn truth. What he did with it was his own lookout.
Casey glared at Preacher for a second. Then she dropped to her knees beside Roland. She took hold of his shoulder and lifted him and pulled his head into her lap. His eyelids began to flutter. After a moment, his eyes opened, and he looked up into Casey's worried face.
I'm alive?
You are. But that was a foolish thing to do, Roland.
I thought it might help.
Roland looked over at Preacher.
I thought it might make amends.
Throwing your life away hardly ever does anybody any good.
Roland wasn't listening to Preacher, though. He was back to looking at Casey. Preacher left him there like that and went back to one of the wagons, peering past it at the Comanches. They had withdrawn again, but they hadn't gone out of sight. They sat out there, about 24 of them, watching the wagons. The odds were no longer overwhelmingly on their side.
What do you think they're gonna do?
They've hit us twice and we've hurt them bad twice. Some of them's gonna be thinking by now that it's time to cut their losses and go on home.
But not all of them.
No, not all of them. The hotheads are still going to want blood. It's just a matter of how many there are left on each side and if they can convince the other ones to go along with them.
Bartlett came up to him.
Preacher, I don't know how to thank you for saving my son's life. Roland would be dead now if you hadn't gone out there and brought him back. I've never seen such a thing.
Yeah, and you ain't likely to see it again because most fellas would have more sense than to try a damn fool stunt like that. But he's back. He ain't dead. There ain't no need to say anything else.
All right, but I won't forget, Preacher. Not ever.
Preacher?
Lorenzo pointed toward the Indians.
Looks like the hotheads won the argument.
The Comanches were charging again.
Yep. Get ready! Here they come!
When the warriors were just outside easy rifle range, they swung to the side and began riding in a circle around the wagons. They waved their bows and lances in the air.
What are they doing?
Showing off. They ain't attacking after all. They're just telling us how fierce they are before they leave.
You mean they've given up?
That's what it looks like to me. For now, anyway. I mean, there's no guarantee they won't try to rustle up some more warriors and come after us again later. But for now, I'd say it's over.
Thank God.
The Indians made several circuits around the wagons, gesturing threateningly with their weapons. Then they turned and rode up the trail to the site of the first battle to retrieve the bodies of their comrades who had fallen there.
Don't nobody fire a shot now. Leave alone. They're letting us get out of here with our hair. It'd be plumb stupid to antagonize them. Anyway, they're gathering up their dead, so show some damn respect.
Respect? For those red heathens?
They're honorable enemies. They were here before we were. Sure, they came along and pushed somebody else out, but they were still here before we were. Now, it won't hurt to keep an eye on them. If they do try to jump us again, then you can shoot as many of them as you want to.
But within 15 minutes, the Comanches were gone from sight.
We got some daylight left. Best hitch up the teams and get moving again.
Preacher?
Yeah?
Casey tells me you saved my life. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm sorry I acted rashly in shooting that Indian. I really thought he was going to take Casey with him.
Well, I reckon it ain't your fault you didn't know no better.
I'll do anything and everything in my power to protect her.
That's good to know.
You just be sure you know what you're doing when you do it.
Roland nodded. Preacher had the feeling the young man still didn't like him very much, but at least Roland had had the gumption to speak plainly. A few minutes later, the oxen were hitched up and the wagons were rolling again. Since there was only one extra horse, the men who had been working as outriders took the places of the wounded bullwhackers. Casey rode in one of the wagons with Roland. He had volunteered to take over for one of the wounded men, but Casey insisted he rest after being knocked out, and Bartlett agreed with it. Preacher picked Lorenzo to ride the extra saddle mount starting out.
You know, old-timer, you and me are going to have to take the place of all those other outriders. That means scouting the flanks on our back trail as well as keeping an eye on what's up ahead.
You ain't telling me nothing I ain't already figured. You go ahead. I don't mind bringing up the rear for a while.
Preacher lifted a hand in farewell as Lorenzo wheeled his horse and rode toward the rear of the caravan. Preacher moved out ahead, wondering all the while how the hell they could get their hands on some more horses, knowing that it wasn't likely to happen short of Santa Fe. For the rest of that day, Preacher and Lorenzo circulated around the wagons as the heavy vehicles made their slow, steady way southwestward. They checked in every direction for any sign of the Comanches or other trouble approaching the caravan. Thank God, nothing threatening appeared. Hot, tedious hours crept by, and finally, the sun lowered toward the horizon. Preacher found a cluster of rocks and motioned for the bullwhackers to pull the wagons into a circle again. It was a damn good thing they would reach the springs tomorrow. The water in the barrels was starting to run a little low. Despite the tension in the camp, the night did pass quietly, and the wagons rolled out the next morning without incident. That day passed with long hours of slow, hot travel toward Santa Fe. Late that afternoon, Preacher spotted a patch of green ahead and felt his spirit surge. Vegetation meant the springs were still flowing. He rode ahead to make sure, then returned to the wagons to give the others the good news. The caravan pushed on. The worn-out bullwhackers had more life in their steps now, as did the oxen. The big brutes smelled that water and they were anxious to reach it. The spring emerged from the ground and formed a pool surrounded by a marshy area covered with reeds and grass. The Cimarron River itself was nearby, its banks lined with scrubby trees, but its water supply was actually less dependable than that of the spring. It had been Preacher's experience that the spring water tasted better than the river water, which was brackish at times. By nightfall, the wagons were circled, camp was established, and morale was better than it had been for days. It was hard to believe that only one day earlier they had been battling for their lives against the Comanches. Fresh water and green vegetation did a lot to lift a man's spirits. The man who'd had the arrow go through his body was awake and feeling better thanks to Casey's nursing. The other men who'd been wounded during the fight were recovering as well.
Bartlett, I'm thinking after such a long haul and the troubles we've had, it might be a good idea to stay here a few days, let everyone rest up, including the oxen.
That sounds like an excellent idea. I couldn't agree more.
Now, the thing is, we'll still have to keep our guard up. Engines have been using this spring for a whole lot longer than wagons have been going to Santa Fe. Hell, wouldn't surprise me none if they knew about the spring way before there ever was a Santa Fe.
For the next 2 days, the men rested, filled the water barrels, and did routine repair work on the wagons. On their third night in camp, Preacher sought out Lehman Bartlett.
I reckon we better get back on the trail tomorrow. It's all right with you. Once we leave the springs, another week should see us in Santa Fe. Maybe the last leg of the trip will prove to be the easiest.
Whatever you think is best, Preacher. Although I must say, I'll miss this place. Compared to what we've seen so far of the Cimarron Cutoff, this is a veritable Eden. You know, I've started to think about what we'll do after we reach Santa Fe. I wish you'd come back to St. Louis with us and guide us west again on our next journey.
Preacher did not even think about it.
I'm sorry, Mr. Bartlett. I ain't sure yet where I'll be going when I leave Santa Fe, but it ain't going to be back to St. Louis. I've had my fill of that town for a good long while.
Well, perhaps you'll reconsider. I'll pay you good wages.
I'm afraid one thing a man like me ain't ever considered all that much is good wages.
Preacher said goodnight to Bartlett and went to find Lorenzo. The old-timer was playing cards with some of the bullwhackers.
You up to standing guard tonight?
Lorenzo glanced up from his cards.
I reckon.
Good.
Preacher looked out at the blackness surrounding the camp.
I got a feeling.
A bad feeling?
Well, just a feeling, that's all.
Preacher left Lorenzo and the other men to their game and walked on around the circle of the wagons. He found Casey and Roland sitting on a couple of crates Roland had taken out of one of the wagons. The young man came to his feet as Preacher approached.
Is something wrong?
Preacher had been leaving the two young people alone while the caravan was camped at the Cimarron Springs. He thought the bond between them had grown stronger, and that was a good thing. His hope was that when the wagon started back to St. Louis from Santa Fe, Casey would go with them. Hell, he wouldn't be surprised if she wound up marrying Roland Bartlett.
No, nothing's wrong. Just thought I'd see how you two are doing and let you know we're leaving here in the morning.
After everything we've gone through, it's been like paradise here, Preacher.
Yeah. Roland, your pa compared it to Eden. I reckon he wasn't far wrong.
How long will it take us to finish the trip from here?
Another week, I'm thinking, if nothing else happens along the way.
Preacher hadn't shaken the slight feeling of uneasiness that had cropped up in him earlier.
I'm looking forward to seeing Santa Fe.
Well, it's a right pretty town in its way, and the mountains around it are even... What the hell?
Preacher wheeled around and broke into a run toward the source of the commotion.
Dog's got a hold of someone!
Preacher rounded the back of the wagon where he'd been talking to Lehman Bartlett.
Good God!
The grizzly was back, and it had Bartlett. Claws and teeth tore into him. Dog was trying to help Bartlett by darting around and snapping at the bear, but the grizzly was ignoring him. Preacher jerked his rifle to his shoulder. Bartlett was in the line of fire, but it didn't matter now. He was doomed unless somebody did something fast. The light from the campfire that penetrated between the wagons was uncertain, but Preacher lined his sights on the bear's head. The grizzly's head jerked back, so Preacher knew his shot had found its mark, but the brute did not fall. It continued to savage Lehman Bartlett. Preacher figured the ball from his rifle had struck the bear a glancing blow and bounced off the thick skull under the fur. More men ran up, including Roland.
Oh, no!
Roland, now goddammit, stay put!
Preacher dropped his empty rifle and pulled his pistols. He was going to have to get closer to the bear so he could fire a shot directly into one of the beast's eyes to reach its brain and stop it. Bartlett's head lolled loosely on his neck, and his clothes, shredded by the grizzly's teeth and claws, were soaked with blood. Holding the pistols ready, Preacher moved closer to the bear. Suddenly, the grizzly threw Bartlett's limp body aside like a child discarding a rag doll, and its beady eyes focused on Preacher instead. The monster charged.
Everybody scatter!
Preacher flung himself out of the way of the charging bear as the creature barreled past him, with Dog still nipping at his heels. The bear slapped at one of the bullwhackers who was too slow getting out of the way. The man landed in a heap. Stripes of blood angled across the back of his shirt where the bear's claws had ripped its flesh. Preacher leaped to his feet and ran after the bear.
Hey, you big goddamn hairy bastard!
Reaching high, he reversed one of the pistols and slammed the butt into the back of the bear's head. Then dropped into a crouch. The grizzly wheeled around. Before Preacher could jam his pistol into the bear's throat, the bear caught him with a backhanded swing that landed on the side of the mountain man's head. The blow was a glancing one, strong enough to send Preacher flying off his feet, but not powerful enough to break his neck. He managed to hang on to the pistols as he rolled over a couple of times on the ground. Gunshots added to the chaos as the bullwhackers who had managed to reach cover opened fire on the bear. The grizzly lunged back and forth. Suddenly, it turned and ran straight at one of the wagons, crashing into the vehicle, causing it to shudder. Ripping off the canvas cover, the bear reached for the man inside and jerked him out of the wagon bed. The bull whackers stopped shooting for fear they would hit the man grabbed by the bear. The bear lurched away from the wagon and threw the man among the livestock. The oxen were milling around in atavistic terror, and they would trample that bull whacker if somebody didn't reach him quickly. Preacher darted into the press of oxen and reached the man's side. He bent down, grabbed his arm, and pulled him to his feet. The man was only semi-conscious. Preacher hauled him out of danger and then looked around for the bear.
Where'd the varmint go?
He got out of the circle and ran off. We tried to kill it, but it seemed like it didn't even feel the shots.
All right, build the fire up bigger. Get one started on the other side of the circle. I don't want to see that damn thing getting any closer to the wagons again without somebody seeing it.
The bull whackers hurried to carry out those orders. Preacher found Roland sitting on the ground, cradling his father's bloody, ravaged body, and rocking back and forth in shock and grief. Tears rolled down the young man's face. Casey knelt beside Roland with a comforting hand on his shoulder, but he didn't seem to know she was there. Preacher looked at Casey with a question playing on his face. She shook her head. Bartlett was gone, which came as no surprise considering the amount of terrible damage done to him by the bear's claws and teeth.
Why did that monster do such a thing? My father never heard it. My father never hurt anybody.
Preacher hunkered on his heels on Roland's other side.
I'm sorry, Roland. That varmint's crazy. He's loco even for a bear. Something drove it out here on the prairie in the first place, and the way it followed us all those miles, that just ain't normal. A bear's brain ain't very big, and this one's big enough to hold a powerful lot of hate.
I can't believe he's gone. I just can't believe it.
I reckon you don't want to be thinking about this right now, Roland, but you're the boss of this wagon train now.
Roland's head came up as he glared at Preacher.
You think I care about something like that now?
I know you don't, but you got responsibilities.
No, you're in charge. My father listened to you and took your advice on everything. Every time there was trouble, you gave the orders. You're in charge, Preacher.
Preacher wasn't going to waste time arguing. Roland was too grief-stricken to be giving orders anyway. Later on, he'd be able to see the situation more clearly. Preacher squeezed Roland's shoulder.
I'm sorry about your paw, Roland.
He straightened and looked around. He saw the bullwhackers had followed his orders. The campfire was blazing brighter, and a fire burned on the other side of the circle, too. The light from the flames extended out past the wagons.
I want a man on guard at every wagon. How bad are those other two fellas hurt?
Charlie's back is ripped up pretty bad. But if we can clean it up, I think he'll be all right. Pettigrew's just shaking up from being tossed around by that son of a bitch.
Preacher nodded. He was glad to hear the other injuries weren't too serious. Lehman Bartlett's brutal death was plenty bad all by itself. When Preacher was satisfied the camp was well guarded, he motioned for Lorenzo to follow him, and he returned to the place where Roland still sat, holding his father's body.
Casey, why don't you take Roland into one of the wagons? Lorenzo and me will take care of his paw.
What are you going to do? There's nothing anyone can do for him now.
That ain't true. We're going to clean him up, get him ready to be laid to rest proper-like in the morning.
Preacher's right, Roland. Come with me.
For a moment, Roland looked like he was going to argue. But then he eased his paw's body to the ground. He stood up shakily and allowed Casey to take his arm and lead him toward one of the wagons. Preacher waited until the two of them had climbed into the vehicle. Then he turned to Lorenzo.
Can you rustle up a blanket?
To wrap Mr. Bartlett in? Sure.
I know which wagon his gear's in. I'll see if I can find him some clothes. Ain't all tore up and bloody.
By the time half an hour had passed, they had Bartlett's body cleaned up, dressed in fresh clothes, and wrapped in a blanket as it was laid out under one of the wagons. First thing in the morning, they would dig a grave and give him a proper burial. Now, Lorenzo and Preacher looked out at the night where the fearsome creature had vanished.
I never did expect to see that damn old bear again. Why do you reckon it's followed us all this way?
I don't know. Something wrong in its head, more than likely. Just plumb loco, like I said earlier. But I do know one thing.
What's that?
It's time for that varmint to die. And after we get Bartlett buried tomorrow, you and me are gonna get it done.
Bartlett was the one who had read from the good book at the previous burials. With him gone, that job fell to his son. Roland, who was still grief-stricken but more in control of himself the next morning, took on the task. His voice broke a few times as he read the 23rd Psalm and led a prayer, but he made it through the solemn ceremony. When it was over, Preacher led Roland away from the grave while some of the bullwhackers filled it in. With Casey and Lorenzo accompanying them, they went to the other side of the camp.
I've been thinking about what you said last night, Preacher, about me being in charge. Now, I'm not sure I'm up to the job.
Well, now, there's only one way to find out, but I'll do whatever I can to help you out.
What do you think we should do next? Move on to Santa Fe like we planned to do?
I don't think it would hurt anything to stay here one more day. That'll give Lorenzo and me time to do a little job.
What sort of job?
Oh, we're going after that Grizz.
Roland stared at Preacher.
That won't bring my father back?
No. But maybe it'll keep that varmint from killing anybody else. It's got a taste for blood, that's for damn sure.
You went after it before.
And I wished I'd caught up to it then. This time, we won't come back until we do.
You think we should wait here for you?
You got plenty of supplies, and the best water supplies in this part of the country. I'm hoping it won't take us long to find the bear. We might be back later today. But if it takes a few days, nah, you'll be all right here. Just keep a full shift of guards on all the time.
In case the Indians come back.
Yeah, it could happen. And it'd be better if I were here to help you fight them off.
I don't think there's any doubt of that. Why don't we compromise? You and Lorenzo see if you can trail the bear, but if you don't find it, come back tonight and we'll move out for Santa Fe tomorrow morning. I hate the idea of letting that creature get away with killing my father, but as you pointed out, Preacher, I have other responsibilities now. Like all the men who work for him. Who work for me.
Roland might still have a long ways to go, but he was starting to grow up.
All right. We'll ride out now and be back tonight one way or the other.
Thank you, Preacher. I feel like I ought to come with you instead of asking you to avenge my father.
Nope. Be better for you to stay here. Somebody's got to be in charge. I reckon that's you.
It still sounds wrong to me, but I'll do what I can.
Preacher clapped a hand on his shoulder.
You just keep your guard up, son. That's the most important thing you can do right now.
Motioning for Lorenzo to follow him, Preacher started toward the horses. He put his saddle on the big gray stallion while Lorenzo got the other horse ready to ride.
You know, Preacher, I'm starting to think that bear can't be killed. Now, we done shot it over and over, and the damn thing keeps on coming back.
Ain't nothing ever lived that can't be killed.
What if it ain't a real bear? What if it's some kind of spirit?
Ghost bear, you mean? No, it's real, all right. My jaw still aches from the wallop it gave me last night. No, it's real. And with enough powder and shot, it'll die.
Preacher walked away from Lorenzo.
Or else I'll die trying to kill it.